The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. I'm sitting here reading here this Mediaite.com. Ex-Solicitor General insists AG Barr's press conference makes Trump look blatantly guilty. I don't know that.
What?
Do you know that? I don't know because I haven't heard what he has said.
Blatantly guilty.
Nadler, Pelosi, and other Dems blast Department of Justice ahead of Mueller report release. Based on what? Based on what you don't know? This is what I said. You know, you can say Nadler, Pelosi, and the Democrats are politicians. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the number of media outlets here, MSNBC guest, the Barr press conference is nothing more than performative coonery. Chuck Todd goes off on a report about the Department of Justice briefing White House lawyers. This is actual collusion. Well, actually, no, because for example, I can't think of it. Dershowitz has said over and over again, the one thing's missing here is the fact that all you're getting is the prosecution side. You don't get the defense. It's not presented at the same time. And that's not fair, but it's just a Democrats blast Attorney General Barr for disgraceful decision to hold presser on Mueller report.
Disgraceful?
Why? How do you know? He hasn't said anything yet. You don't know. He could simply come out and just say, holding this press conference so you know what we did here.
Right.
And here's what we did. We color-coded this.
Here's what the rules and the law allows, and,
right.
And this is what we're going to do. If anything there needs to change, Congress will have to enact a new law, pass a new law or rules. But right now, we are bound by these rules and laws, and this is what we will do. This is the report, and here you have it. Because it's funny, that's the Democrats are you. It doesn't matter what you do. He needs to release it. He holds a press conference. That's wrong. I mean, it is bizarre because it is indicative of their desperation right now, I think, to try and make it something that it's not.
Over the last 2 years, what was their mistake? They made judgments without the facts.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing now? They're making judgments without the facts.
Mm-hmm.
That was our point all along. The politicians are going to be politicians, but the journalists who do the same thing over and over again are not journalists. Don't expect them to be journalists. We talked about this when the four-page report came out, and there were members of the journalist community saying, we hope that the media has learned something and understand that journalistic ethics must be... They're not about journalistic ethics.
Yeah.
They've never been about journalistic ethics. They're political operatives, they're political activists. They don't care. There is no, they're not going to revert back to what they never were.
Ethics. Give me a break.
Yeah, don't expect it. Democrats in Congress attacked Attorney General William Barr Wednesday evening ahead of the Justice Department's planned release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. Barr is set to hold a news conference at 9:30 a.m. this morning. At a news conference Wednesday evening, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler. Can I do it?
All right.
Can I do it?
Go ahead.
Ready? Gerald Nadler. Okay, that was
gavel.
My gavel.
I yield my time to Chairman McNamara.
said the panel expected to receive a copy between 11 a.m. and noon, well after the Attorney General's 9:30 press conference. This is wrong. Why? The Attorney General appears to be waging a media campaign on behalf of President Trump. Based on what?
How is it that you know what he's going to say?
Yeah, based on what evidence?
Where in the world is it coming from?
Rather than letting the facts of the report speak for themselves, the Attorney General has taken unprecedented steps to spin Mueller's nearly two-year investigation. How do you know that? Where's the evidence?
Yep.
The fact that he's holding a press conference? He may be holding a press conference to explain why they redacted what they redacted.
Right.
If he's trying to spin it, you'll know it very quickly. Why would he do that? Remember, initially, the media was screaming his summation of the... It wasn't a summation of, you know, his four-page summation. You can't give a four-page summation. He didn't. He gave you the conclusions. Were the conclusions inaccurate?
Right.
Were Barr's conclusions about the Mueller investigation inaccurate? Did Mueller suggest indictment for collusion? Did Mueller suggest or advise indictment for obstruction of justice? No. And that's what he reported, right?
That's it.
How is that wrong? How is that biased?
Well, it is clearly this attempt to, right now, I think, discredit Barr, because they know where he's going.
Exactly.
So you come out and you have to tear away his credibility so that when he comes out with the investigation in the future, whenever that is, and it leads to what many believe it will lead to, it will be. But of course, see, his actions all along have demonstrated how biased he is.
But based on the facts and the evidence at hand, how can you say that?
Well, okay, fine. Let's have a special counsel on the beginnings, the origins of it all, including the FISA court and the FISA warrants.
Well, look, we broke it down. I don't know William Barr.
No, I don't know.
I know what he's done in the past. I know what his reputation is, but I don't know him. He might be covering for Trump 1,000%, right? There's always that possibility.
Sure.
Is there any evidence of that from what we have seen so far?
No.
No, there is zero evidence of that. Anything's a possibility.
Right.
In human beings, you never know. But is there any evidence of it? Forget about the rhetoric. Look for the evidence. No, there is not. How could they make this assumption that Barr is attempting to spin for Trump tomorrow by holding the press conference before he releases it? Where is the evidence to make that charge? There is none.
Nope.
Could he be possibly covering for Trump? There's always that possibility. Is there any evidence of that? No, there is not. Is there any evidence for Nadler to take that opinion or anybody in the media to take that opinion? No, there is not.
No.
Is there anything in Barr's past in his relationship with Trump to give you the indication that he is not willing to tell you the truth about what is in the Mueller investigation and the truth of what he might possibly find in any other investigation?
No.
Is there a possibility that he could be a hack and just viciously go after the Obama administration law enforcement officials? Yeah, that's always in the realm of possibility.
Sure.
That could possibly happen. Is there any evidence in Barr's past that he has acted that way, or is there any evidence by what he has said that he plans on doing that? No, there is not.
Well, because he's a public servant, the only thing you can judge is his work.
Right.
The work could tell us his motivation. It will tell us his, it might tell us his method, which could tell us his motivation, but we haven't seen his work yet. Haven't seen the press conference yet. It's not going to happen for another 5 hours and 15 minutes. So, how about we wait and see what he says?
Here's a conspiracy theory. Have Democrats found a way to travel into the future?
Ooh, they have. We've got the, in fact, we've played audio from the future. Ocasio-Cortez.
Ah, oh, maybe that's
it's from
right.
the future.
Oh, that's right. We played the Ocasio-Cortez piece earlier where she was
maybe
talking
she
from
came
the future.
Back to tell the media what's going to happen.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Have Democrats learned to time travel?
Yes. Can I use my gavel when
Wait a minute. Hold it.
What?
If Democrats have learned to... Let's connect the dots here.
What?
If Democrats have learned to time travel, that's how they know that Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal will work.
Right. Can I use my gavel when I have a really stupid idea? We don't have the gavel rules yet.
No, we don't. That's...
Gavel rule book. Yeah, how about we wait until the press conference and then determine from that what is said, what information is given.
Look,
then
our,
we can go on from there.
Our point is, no, they they haven't learned anything.
Well,
all right, that's our point.
But, you know,
they're not going to change. They haven't learned anything.
No, that's a great point because you have to look at what they have been doing during the whole Mueller investigation. They were clear exactly what Mueller was going to find, right?
Yep.
So certainly in this case, they're clear. They know ahead of time what the AG is going to say at his press conference. What am I thinking? Of course they know. They've known all along.
Well, apparently they didn't time travel too well with their position on what Mueller would come up with.
Right. But since the Mueller report, they invented time travel.
Okay.
Or reinvented it.
Well, the difference is
they keep going back to the loop
Cortez,
and correcting
that's
it.
That's right. Ocasio-Cortez is now
yeah.
the leader, and she was the one that discovered the way to time travel.
Yes.
So that's what
right,
it is,
yeah. right. Yes.
Blah, 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 blah.
It's a really horrible episode of Star Trek.
I know. So there you go. But it's important to break it down every time they speak because they keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. The question is, will it bury them politically? Will the public finally respond and say, look, we've had enough. We've had enough of this. We shall see, won't we?
We will.
Your calls and comments coming up. If you'd like to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Is your after-treatment system trying to tell you something? Pay attention to the warning lights on your dashboard today in order to save later on. The high exhaust temperature light appears on the dash as an image of exhaust and a temperature gauge illuminated in yellow. This may not cause your engine to shut down, but it does indicate a high DPF outlet temperature was detected below 5 to 10 miles per hour driving speeds. The DPF region light, which looks like a filter with exhaust going through it, indicates that a manually initiated or parked regeneration is necessary. Have your vehicle looked at by a certified technician if these lights appear on your dashboard frequently or if you need region assistance. Stop into a TA truck service today to learn about our full scope of after-treatment services.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-824-SHOP.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's head right to you. We go to Jack in Delaware about the Democrats and the campaign going on right now. Hi, Jack. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Every morning like clockwork. Hey, I got a comment.
Yes.
I was listening to the last segment, and I was laughing. You were talking about time travel. And I was thinking about Back to the Future with Doc and Marty. And who does Doc remind you of? Anyway.
Bernie.
Bernie!
speaking of Mr. Sanders, I don't understand why so many people like Bernie have so much money to spend, and nobody pushes back on the simple fact that we have $22 trillion in debt, and we really can't afford that right now.
Right.
I mean, do you really have 3 months back in your mortgage and decide to go out and buy a new car? I don't think so. But anyway, that's my comment. I just wanted to...
Well, look, it's something that we talk about all the time, but part of the reason they get away with that is because the American public doesn't care.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. You're
outraged.
Yeah,
our listeners,
you should be.
Our listeners are. We are, and we're like, we can't believe what's going on. We believe it's absolutely immoral to be putting the burden of what we want now on future generations.
Right.
But we just choose not to talk about it.
And that's something that I, again, what's funny is when you heard, the NPR interview with Ocasio-Cortez asking about the Green New Deal, how do you pay for it? And she starts going through, deficit spending, and they're like, well, no, but you still have to pay that back.
Oh, that was, I mean.
It was so great.
That was the elementary school type of mentality you were dealing with.
Right.
When she was just saying, well, you just print the extra money or you deficit spending. It's like,
CNN. It. I mean, Jake Tapper and Chris Cuomo, separate interviews of Gillum in Florida and Ocasio-Cortez on things. How are you going to pay for it? And they really, they gave him a pass. They didn't press them on it. But at least that question is being asked. I think that's the one thing that is a very fundamental part of it. This is why I think part of the appeal for Bernie is not that they believe they're going to get Medicare for All. I think what they believe is, but I'll get a little something more. If he doesn't get the $32 trillion package, he'll get through more than I'm getting right now. And I think it is almost that it's not desperation, but it is that handout where they're looking going, well, you know what? If he's talking this and he reaches for $32 trillion, maybe he'll get a much smaller amount. But ultimately, I will get something more. He's looking at giving me something more. I don't think that his base right now, you and I were looking at the one poll in a general election poll recently where the president had 47. And if Bernie were the nominee, Bernie would have 44. And I said, well, his base, is it really 44? No, the appeal might get you to 44. Maybe. I'm not even convinced it gets you to 44. But some people, I believe, look at that and say to themselves, well, he's not going to get the $32 trillion package, Medicare for All, but maybe I'll get something out of it. Because if he aims high for this, maybe it comes back and he delivers with something.
The funny thing is, I mean, you think about one of the biggest things being sold right now by Democrats is Medicare for All.
Right.
And that's why we keep bringing up, we can't do Medicare for some.
Right.
Because I think it simplifies it, that we can't do Medicare for some for people that have been paying premiums for 40 years and not collecting any health insurance on it.
Right. Yeah.
And even after paying for 40 years... And remember, a significant number of those people never, ever collect that are in that system because they die.
Right.
How many die? What, 20% before you even get and start collecting Medicare? Maybe 15% are dead by that time. But you pay your premiums for 40 years, you don't collect anything, and then when it's time to collect, you still have to pay a significant amount of your healthcare bill, and it comes out of your own pocket.
Right.
So we can't even do Medicare for some. For part of the time, when they pay their premiums for 40 years, yet the Democrats are trying to sell to the American public Medicare for All, and you'll actually pay less money than you're currently paying right now and get just as good benefits. What type of fools are we?
Well, and think about this, too. Think about it. No one is also, we used to have the discussion years ago when we're talking single payer about behavioral aspects of it, right? When no one is held accountable for their behavior. Now you get into, because the private sector will offer you an incentive. You know, hey, if you do this, if you do that, then you could earn a discount, right? But when we talk about the government paying for it anymore, no one is having that part of the discussion. Why not? You know, you work out every day, but your neighbor smokes. Should they get the same?
You're listening to Red Eye Radio from the Pilot Flying J Studios.
And he is Eric Carney. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's head to Jean-Luc in Washington, D.C. Jean-Luc, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. My point was, if the Democrats want to know the truth, they need to subpoena Mueller. Mueller can give them all the answers they need. Reference to the 400 pages or the summary report. But sure. I don't think they will want to do that because that will end the conspiracy. They have nothing to feed themselves on than the conspiracy.
Yeah.
So they will want to continue this.
Well, it will be interesting to see if they do say we would like to. I don't know how far that would go and whether they could actually get Mueller in there or not.
Right. What he would be able to talk about.
Exactly. What he would be able to talk about, what he'd be willing to talk about. But the fact is they always they scream that they should be able to subpoena everybody. So that would be one of the things that you would expect that they would use as their political rhetoric, that we want to subpoena Mueller. As you know, Eric and I have said from the very beginning, if I was a Democrat, the one thing I'd want to know, from Attorney General Barr, and if you just tuned in right now, Eric and I were talking about this earlier, the first question that I would have for Barr is, I would ask him, wait a minute. We know that you now want to investigate the beginning of the Mueller, the beginning of the investigation into Trump.
Right.
That you want to start from the beginning. But shouldn't Mueller have gone that route? Did you ask him, or have you have any questions as to if, and I would say this as a Democrat, that did Mueller look at the best evidence available of possible collusion of Trump and the Trump campaign, which would be the evidence that was used to get the FISA warrant?
Because that's it. I would say, Attorney General Barr, you have said that you intend to go back to the activity of the summer of 2016. What is it that was not from the Mueller report that did not satisfy a number of questions here? Did Mueller not cover that? Did Mueller not go through what you plan on going through? I mean, are you trying to redo Mueller's work, or are you trying to complete the job? Because it is incomplete. I mean, look, we already know that. But the point is that you want to ask this question, and I'm wondering why a Democrat hasn't asked this question, because I'm thinking to myself, well, why would Barr need to complete or do anything outside of what Mueller did? Why do you feel it necessary to do any of that?
Well, again, to me, if I was a Democrat and truly wanted to get, if this is the key point, if I truly wanted to get to the bottom of it, if I truly believed that the evidence was there to get Trump, as all the Democrats and the media seem to believe that there is, because they're furious that they didn't get the results that they wanted, well, then the first question you as a Democrat should be asking is, why didn't Mueller go look at the evidence that was used to get the secret warrant? Because that had to be the best evidence, because that got the secret warrant.
Right.
And then at that point, you would have a ton of questions, right? Because if it was legit evidence, then you'd be able to get him. If it was not legit, then you'd have questions as the inspector general, but the special counsel. You would have questions as to, well, wait a minute, was there a law broken here? Right. Because then that would have been your next responsibility. So, there's a ton of questions that the left doesn't seem to want to answer. Where do they think? Because here would be my point. Where do they think this evidence from Trump still exists?
Right.
Well, have you opened every door? Well, if you didn't open the door of the FISA warrant, because it is the Republicans that are trying to find out the evidence for the FISA warrant. Mm-hmm. Everything should have been focused on the evidence for the FISA warrant. There is no better evidence, right, that Trump colluded with the Russians, or somebody in the Trump campaign colluded in the Russians, than the evidence that exists from the FISA report. And remember, the Democrats keep insisting that the FISA report and that the Republicans are way overplaying the dossier's impact on getting the FISA warrant, well, then that even makes it more imperative to find out what evidence the FBI had and used in the FISA warrant to get that secret, or the FISA application to get that secret warrant, because that has to be, doggone it, the best evidence that you have that Trump colluded with the Russians, and they're still hoping for collusion, so why aren't Democrats screaming for that?
Right. All the evidence would be right there.
Democrats? Anybody?
We're not even hearing any complaint that Mueller didn't do that.
No, none. Why not? Do we have to help the Democrats?
Well, maybe. Yes.
Maybe we're not helping the Democrats.
No, we're not.
Maybe they know that it was all bogus, and that's why they don't want to go down that route.
Because if you realized that it was all based on bogus information, the last thing you would want to do, just like the president, if he believed, you know, that the whole thing, when we talked about the firing of Mueller and the firing of Comey and the deputy attorney general Rosenstein writing the memo, you don't have to include collusion there. Well, you know that. Well, if the president wasn't proactive in saying no, we need to. Well, if he was trying to hide something, the last thing he would do is point that out, right? Well, the Democrats haven't said anything about any of that.
Well, the Washington Post, you know, as they're screaming tons of stuff's going to be redacted, they said very little apparently is redacted in the obstruction of justice, which would make sense because that's simply Trump's actions, which were public, so you don't have to redact.
Right.
You don't really have to redact, anything there. If they're furious about any redactions and the collusion, then we advise them to encourage the president to release all the information of the application of the FISA warrant.
Right. If the Democrats believe the information in the petition for the warrant and that application process, if they believe it was legitimate, then they'd be screaming for it right now. Right?
Yeah.
The president knew that there was no collusion, and he was telling Rosenstein, include that. He wasn't running away from it, trying to hide something like somebody who's guilty of something.
Democrats, what do you actually want? What is it that you really want?
Another president. That's what they want. Someone else to be president right now. That's what they want.
Look, to Democrats out there, we think it's time you start evolving like Cher.
Yes.
Because that's one thing we found out this week. We may not get to talk about it because of the report being released later on today, so we may not be able to talk about it on tomorrow's show. But Democrats and liberals, seriously, if Cher is starting to move closer to Trump on illegal immigration, maybe it's time that you need to start reassessing, because we know that Cher is never wrong.
Well, Cher clearly can sympathize with the mayor of Yuma, Arizona, right?
Yeah, right now, yeah, where he called a state of emergency.
Right, being overrun. She's talking about, you know, where she lives being overrun.
I mean, look, if it's Cher, next thing it's Babs.
Oh, yeah.
Babs,
yeah.
Can imagine Babs coming out and saying, I've come to realize that I love Trump like Chelsea Handler loves Mueller.
I won't go full Rosie O'Donnell, but it could happen.
Hold it. Gavel.
Order.
We're out
order
of order
on the show.
I'm sorry. We're out of order.
We're out of order.
It is funny, isn't it? I mean, when you go through all the when you actually break down all the scenarios, it is bizarre what we're going through right now. It really
yes.
is.
Yes.
And it's going to be even more bizarre just a few hours from now.
Yep. Here we go. We're, 5 hours and, 4 hours and 45 minutes. The countdown is, wait a minute. When will they start the countdown clock? on the Mueller report being issued. You know CNN's going to have that, right? Or MSNBC or both. The countdown clock.
Maybe not.
We'll see. What was it they had it on recently?
Well, I don't know, but remember, all I keep thinking of, you brought it up the other day when Rachel Maddow got burned.
Oh, my gosh. The tax return from 2010, I think.
Remember that? That was the best.
Oh, man.
Just great. Let's go to Mike in Indiana. Mike, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Hey, my opinion on that Democrats, whether it's Nadler or Schiff, they want their hands on that report so they can look for a gotcha moment somewhere or set the narrative ahead of Barr releasing it to the public can see it, so they can set the narrative and have all the talking points.
That they're still going to have it. That's Barr, because we don't know what Barr's going to do in the press. Barr simply comes out, because this is what I expect. I think Barr will probably come out and just say, look, here's how we did this, just so everybody understands. We color-coded where we had to redact so you understand where the redactions are coming from, and certain redactions we're going to allow certain members of Congress to see. There's more redactions when it comes to collusion because that involved sources and methods outside of this country. There are fewer redactions in the obstruction of justice case because those mostly involved the president and what he said publicly. So none of this is going to stop them from doing it. I agree with Eric. I think the reason that they're doing this is they know where Barr is going with the investigations that are coming up, that he's going to receive the criminal referrals from the inspector general. He's going to receive the criminal referrals from the Republican House, from the Republican House Intelligence Committee investigation. He's going to get any of the information that comes from Lindsey Graham and the House Judiciary Committee looking back at it, and he's going to do his own investigation with his own team. I'm thinking, and I agree with Eric, and Eric said this first, they're trying to set the tone and trying to destroy his credibility now, even when there's no way to destroy his credibility now. They want to get ahead of that situation.
They likely know what he's going to find. And even if they don't, they suspect he could find it, and if that is the case, they need to destroy his credibility so by the time his investigation concludes that he is done.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Rich in San Francisco. Rich, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome. Hi, Rich.
Hi there. Back in 2017, I think it was around March or April, either just before or after Comey was fired, I saw him on TV at a news conference, apparently, and reporters were asking him questions. And one of the questions was, did you verify the story that you presented to the FISA court about the Russian hotel where they were peeing on the bed and all that stuff? And Comey said, right there on TV, he kind of waved his right hand and said, oh, lower officials verified it.
Somebody else had verified it.
Well, he had said that he never thought it was verified.
Right.
Comey testified.
Now, when he was testifying, he said.
When he was testifying, he said that. When he's testifying, he said, it was never verified.
Right.
He's on record with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw him on TV.
That they were never able to verify.
Well, maybe what he was saying is that somebody else said that they had verified it, and he's trying to pass the buck there. Well, the buck stops with him when you're the director at the FBI, then you look at that situation. You're looking at the investigation is on the political opposition's campaign. So he has to own that. But not sure what you saw on TV. That could have been him just saying somebody else had said they verified it or tried to dismiss it so he could separate himself from it. I have to wonder what comes of James Comey. John Brennan or any of these other individuals who were in office at that time. This is, I think, the big part of it. You think about the major players here and the roles that they had at that time. When you have the Attorney General promising that he's going to investigate the events of the summer of 2016, Comey is director at the FBI. Brennan is director at the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Lynch is the Attorney General. I think it is mind-boggling to think how big this could possibly be.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thank you for being here this morning. Well, it's going to be released today. It's Mueller Report Day.
Woohoo! Yay!
And I got to play. Don't I have to play a little audio?
I think you got to play some.
From
the craziness has begun.
If he didn't exist, you and I would not have our gavels here. But yeah. What does Gerald Nadler, the head of the Democrat who's the head of the House Judiciary Committee, have to say with Mueller, there's so many names, with Barr releasing the Mueller report today and holding a press conference before?
The central concern here is that the Attorney General Barr is not allowing the facts of the Mueller report to speak for themselves, but is trying to bake in the narrative about the report to the benefit of the White House. And of course, he's doing this just before the holiday weekend, so it's extraordinarily difficult for anybody to react. This is wrong. It is not the proper role of the Attorney General.
How does he know what the AG is going to say?
As we've said, the Democrats have come up with a time machine.
Yeah. That's impressive. He can either tell the future.
Well, nobody was complaining a little over a week ago when he said, I'm going to be released it a little over a week. I mean,
Well, I mean, that he had said, you know, it'll be sometime. He'd been saying for a few weeks, in fact, that it would likely be sometime in mid-April. I think he probably said that the week after Mueller finished. So we all knew this was coming. Yeah.
Let me ask you this question anymore. Is that an argument whose time has passed?
What's that?
With the internet? The Friday night dump or the releasing it before the holiday. With the internet the way that it is today, the people who are going to pay attention are going to pay attention.
If you care enough, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the case. But they still care about building a false narrative on television and carrying their false narrative. And Chuck Todd won't be able to help them do that on Easter Sunday with a huge audience.
We will let everyone in our audience land. Everybody in audience land.
Hello, all of you listeners out there in listener land.
All you in listener land. We will make sure that even though it is released today before a holiday weekend, that you have all the information that you know when we're on the air tomorrow.
That's right.
Just in time to go home and shut the TV off for the weekend.
Look,
Well, look.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to make sure I have to. Will I be able to see the Ten Commandments this weekend?
It's Saturday.
Saturday
usually is when they show it.
Yeah, right. I think it's 6 Eastern it starts. I think. No, it would be 6 Central.
Hmm.
Probably 7 Eastern.
Okay.
And with the commercials, it's over 4 hours long.
Yeah. It's greatness.
Yeah.
Every time.
I'll never get sick of that movie.
No, no, no. I'll never not be intrigued by it. Totally drawn in. And I don't know that it's one you could remake. There are certain movies, but especially that one, I don't know that you could. I guess they could try. I just don't know that Hollywood would, want to. Given the current makeup of Hollywood, I don't know that they care to recreate that.
Yeah, but what it shows you is that special effects mean nothing when the acting is perfect.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. It was carried by the presentation of the actors. It really was. And that today, I think that's a great point. Today, it would likely be carried by, or maybe the director would believe that it would need to be carried by the presentation of the effects.
The special effects, right.
Which I'm sure would be great and awesome,
In today's mentality, if it's God's special effects, it's got to be pretty darn good.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, exactly. Who do you get to do that? Or who wants that job, right? We need you to demonstrate the power of God. I would look at that and go, no maybe, thanks.
Might be blasphemous.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I wonder if there was that consideration back then. If they thought to themselves, wait a minute, we've got a fairly decent task here. We're trying to get a certain set of points across.
Yeah, but in the 1950s,
mm-hmm.
to part the Red Sea, that's even pretty cool today. The way they did.
Oh yeah, yeah. It
when
really
you see
was.
That you're like that's
yeah.
really
it really was.
That's really
it
a
really
great
was.
Special effect.
I remember the time that I saw the Passion of the Christ. You know, because if you talk about biblical movies in modern times, then that one is of course one that's right there at the top. And I saw it in a theater. I went alone because I felt like it was a very individual and personal lesson that I was supposed to learn, and I did, that I was supposed to take in from that. But the presentation of it, I thought, was well done. I thought that all the way across, it was something that was just, I don't know, mind-boggling to witness and consider. Not that Hollywood could recreate.
Wasn't a pleasant movie to watch, but you didn't go for that reason.
No, I didn't. It wasn't the effects or anything else.
And it's funny because I did the same thing. Now, I did go with the notepad.
Yeah.
But right. I also went alone to it.
Yeah.
And I went in the middle of a weekday, and it was packed for Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
It was just mobbed.
Yeah, I remember in same thing with me. And I went to a theater that I don't normally, it wasn't the normal, the movie complex near my house. I went somewhere else because they were showing it at an earlier time and I could get in and it could work my schedule and I wouldn't have to worry about moving too many things. I could devote that time without much consideration. And how when you were a kid and you would walk out of a Bruce Lee movie and you'd go home and start practicing karate moves? Well, It was quite the opposite. You know, when you see the hero movies as a kid, when you're trying to take in the world, right? You're trying to learn something. There's some kind of influence from Hollywood. Well, it's quite the opposite. It was humbling. It didn't make me feel like a superhero. It made me ask a lot of questions.
Yeah,
myself.
Very humbly, very serious. I mean, to me, I walked out of that movie the same way that I did Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
I saw that in the big theater. I mean, I wanted to, and I'm not a huge moviegoer, but those were films that I said, no, you have to see them.
And also, it wasn't a film that you went and said, all right, Milk Duds, popcorn, a bunch of...
No, I didn't. In fact, I didn't buy anything.
Yeah, neither did I.
I sat down and thought...
I don't remember anybody else doing that either.
Like, yeah.
Saying, okay, right. I've got my popcorn, my jujubes, and I'm ready to go.
Right.
You didn't see that. But the weekend here, it's not going to affect the Democrats and how they, view the report. Just remember, I think everybody should remember that the majority of the media reporting on it carried the water for the Russians and colluded with the Russians by carrying the water of the dossier for the last 2 years, and by not doing their homework and not by asking the right questions, these will be the same people that will be jumping to conclusions. You and I will do what we always do, which is look at the facts that exist out there. We read on the, it was in the last hour yesterday, editorial in the Wall Street Journal that stated point by point by point where journalists failed. Right. You know, journalists coming out saying, we just reported what we got. Well, journalists just don't report what you get. You don't report anything that you hear. The journalist doesn't go on and say, we got a call from a guy on Smith Avenue that said this guy committed collusion. No, you back it up. You try to find out if the story is true, and they did not. What they did, they never looked for the facts in this story. All they looked for was different people that were part of the same chain in the government saying the same things over and over again, but not being able to verify it.
Right.
Yep. But they never searched for the facts. They never even searched for a specific allegation. Before you get to what the facts are, you need a specific allegation of a wrongdoing. And that should have been the key, as pointed out in that Wall Street Journal editorial. That should have been the key. A story is when you've got facts. Well, maybe the whole story here was to keep this story going. Maybe that was the intent of the story, was to keep a false story going. It wasn't a report that somebody had done something wrong, and a journalist is supposed to look at it both ways.
Yeah.
A journalist is supposed to look at it and say, okay, until I get the evidence, I'm suspect of everything that I get here. I'm going to be a little bit cynical. I want to see the facts of the story before I accuse the president of the United States and start reporting that he committed treason, or that's the allegation.
Yeah, I think that's it. Is I want to get the basis of all of it. I want to find out everything. Just assuming that I would be biased, right? That there might be something that I'm hoping to find out of it. The only way to do that is to thoroughly do the real work of journalism. But that's not going to be.
And you're never going to see it. We're going to repeat it again. Don't expect that the mainstream media is ever going to change. No. There was this sort of pleading or hoping that after they got burned so big on this story over the last 2 years, that maybe they'll return to journalistic practices. We have said this probably 6 or 7 times over the last 2 weeks since the 4-page report came out, or 3 weeks, whenever it came out. We said they're not going to change because they've never been journalists. They're political activists, and political activists do not care about promoting the truth. They care about promoting propaganda that is effective.
Right. Yep.
If they are effective in selling a propaganda message, that's all activists care about. Activists don't care about the truth. Journalists are supposed to care about the truth. So you're not going to magically turn political activists that you have in the mainstream media today to journalists. That's impossible because they never were journalists to begin with.
Right.
If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Two news tidbits from the trade front.
I want to move forward on Japan. I think that's really important for farmers.
U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer before a Senate committee last month. And the U.S. and Japan are moving forward with trade talks, with agriculture part of the discussion between Ambassador Lighthizer and Japan's Economic Revitalization Minister earlier this week. Both pledged to accelerate talks between the two nations. Meanwhile, the European Union's Trade Commissioner says her government is ready to talk a new trade deal with the U.S. Only one thing, according to Commissioner Cecilia Malmström.
We have been very clear that from the EU side, we are not going to discuss agriculture.
Not what the U.S. ag sector wants to hear, with some lawmakers saying this could make any U.S.-EU trade deal difficult to pass in Congress. One other note, quiet yet progressing, trade negotiations between the U.S. and China and a potential lifting of Chinese tariffs on U.S. farm exports. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Just to add to it, the Washington Post coming out and stating that there will be little redactions when it comes to obstruction of justice. That it's going to be pretty clear what Mueller was thinking and why he could not come to a conclusion. And what they said was, what the Wall Street Journal said was their information, the Washington Post said, is that their information is that Mueller could not decide what his intent was.
Right.
Now, how he will break that down will be interesting, because if there was no crime to begin with, and there was actually no law breaking in anything that Trump did, I don't know how it's tough not to figure out his intent.
Right. Yeah, that's. I guess that's the question. Is
that would be my question. Well, wait a minute. And you and I have gone through all the different scenarios on the air many times. But that would be my thing. Wait a minute. You couldn't come to his. I probably could come to his. I could take a guess at his intent. Now,
right? Yeah.
Now, if he said he couldn't figure out the intent, that means there is no obstruction of justice.
It means that there's nothing to, there is no basis for obstruction.
Right. I couldn't figure out his intent. Well, if you can't figure out the intent and no crime was committed, what are you doing?
Right. Right.
What's your point?
Right. Because sometimes it's very clear. Sometimes it's, you know, I mean, you could have a set of events that happens. Here's what's interesting is that we talked about, during the Mueller investigation, we talked about the president not commenting on social media. Stay away from social media. However, given that the president is all over the place at times and unpredictable, and it's hard to nail him down, you can't prove intent. If this current president were a person that would be, you know, fairly predictable, would act in normal ways, would act in, you know, a certain set specific ways that people could identify, could look and say, you know, this is likely how he's going to react, then that would be one thing. You can't do that with this president, so that may have been what protected him. The fact that he was all over the place. Well, was he just spouting off on social media? That in and of itself is not right. Against the law. Issuing an opinion, we talked about this.
Wow. Do you think some attorney, think it'll come out that somebody tried to say because he tweeted something that was obstruction?
I think that, certainly.
Wow.
Absolutely. I think somebody on the Mueller team, if not more than one person, maybe.
Wow. If you put that in writing, that's pretty bad.
Well, it is, because what you have to remember, right? Remember when he talked about the NFL and all the tax breaks and everything that they get, and they should, well, issuing an opinion as a president is different than making policy on the fly, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't issuing policy, he was issuing opinion. But, yeah, did that come into it? I wonder. Here's your forecast.
Another day of rough weather expected for the south. For eastern Texas, showers will be wrapping up as the system moves eastward. The most intense potential for severe weather will be in the Ark-La-Tex, Louisiana, portions of Arkansas, and then into Georgia for today. The threats being, of course, lightning, hail, and damaging winds, which could produce some tornadoes in the region for the deep south. The states of South Carolina, North Carolina can expect the system to be moving in by tomorrow. And then for the East Coast over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, we'll see those showers begin to wrap up as they move offshore. Now, that line of heavy rain today will extend up through Illinois, portions of Indiana and Michigan. For the New England states north of Boston, we could pick up some light snow flurries today. As you move westward from the Mississippi, things look dry. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
You're listening to Red Eye Radio from the Pilot Flying J Studios. Right Wing Machine, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. I want to play one audio cut before we get out of here today, and then the Mueller report comes out at 9:30 Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be waking
up. Our countdown clock has begun.
Has it?
Yeah. It is now 3 hours 54 minutes and 40 seconds.
Can I gavel the timer to start? No. No more gaveling.
No more gaveling.
Done with the gavel for the week.
All right.
But on Fox News yesterday, Ken Starr was on.
Ah.
And he was questioning whether the Mueller report can be written in a fair and balanced way, given his choice of staff. And you and I have talked about this before. Is the only reason, and I don't know this, but all you can do is ask questions. But we have said, how can you even make the case for, you couldn't make the case for collusion. Why are they still hanging on to obstruction of justice? Is it because of the bias? Are they attempting to stretch the meaning or simply say, well, no, but we just believe that Trump and people, I know you may be saying, come on, Gary, that they wouldn't be doing that. Well, wouldn't they? Because right. What is the evidence for obstruction of justice when there's, again, we've said it hundreds of times, when there is no crime, there was no crime that you're trying to hide.
Right.
And even your actions, if you look at the actions of this president, especially the actions when it came to when he fired Comey, but the fact that he was telling Rosenstein over and over again, he wanted that to be part of it. And Rosenstein said, no, firing Comey because of the FBI investigation into Russia collusion, we don't need to fire him. I'm not going to put it in. We don't need that to do it. And he was insisting on doing that. That doesn't sound like somebody who is guilty.
Right.
If you're an investigator, you say, well, wait a minute. If you've got an out, you can fire this guy and you don't need to use this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you did collude with the Russians. Well, then you want to go with what Rosenstein said.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
So we've always questioned what is the evidence that the attorneys that we know worked for Mueller did not like Trump. That they were Hillary fans, they were Democrats, and the vast majority of them were. Let's see what they actually wrote, and let's see what evidence they had to see if they actually had bias or did not have bias in their conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll be able to see this, but here's part of that interview on Fox News yesterday with former independent counsel Ken Starr. So he's done it before.
Number one, you're okay. Seeing concerns about the possibility of an anti-Trump slanted Mueller report. To what are you referring?
Well, the report is going to be redacted, so obviously we're not going to see the full report. That's going to be frustrating for all of us, and people will say, where's more and more? But the concern that I think is a fair concern is, is the report going to be written in a fair and balanced way? It's a concern. Now, why the concern? Because of Bob Mueller, who I hold in very high regard, his choice of staff. So many questions have been raised about that staff and their leanings and so forth. And they've had the opportunity, without any kind of cross-examination, any kind of check, any kind of balance, to write whatever they want to write. And that, I think, legitimately raises concern of fairness and balance.
Mm. So we're going to have to digest this. And I think at first glance tomorrow, may be a very dangerous thing to jump on it. I mean, it might take a day or 2 days or several days to really understand what's in the report. But the other night, you said something else. You said with Shannon, you said we're about to enter a period of enormous frustration and acrimony. Explain that, sir.
The frustration will be, we don't have it all. And why don't we have it all? I think Bill Barr, the Attorney General, has very ably and responsibly answered that. There are restrictions on law, grand jury information being the primary example. And then the acrimony will be this cherry picking, right? I think it's inevitable. Aha, do you see this sentence? See that? And what that means is, and then in a lot of interpretation and extrapolation. I completely agree with you, Bill. It would be good if we could call a national timeout and actually review what we have and then come to a more sober judgment, but politics is politics.
And to that end, though, you recommended Bill Barr stand in the halls of justice, to borrow your words there, and explain why he did what he did in the report. That may happen. We're hearing rumors he may hold a press conference Thursday afternoon.
Well, I've had no conversations with Bill Barr, whom I hold in very high regard, but I would just say this. I'm speaking as an alumnus twice of the Justice Department, including serving under Bill Barr. He's extraordinarily able and smart, so he doesn't need my advice. I'm speaking as a citizen who has served in the Justice Department. This would build, I think, public confidence in what he has done if he stands and explains it, rather than waiting for a congressional hearing, which will be a week or who knows how long, and then all of the spinning goes on in the meantime.
Now, I wanted to play that because obviously this was done before they announced the press conference.
Right.
But here's Ken Starr. It's hilarious because there's Ken Starr saying, no, I think he should hold a press conference so the American public can know exactly what he did. So as soon as he announces that he's going to hold a press conference, he's trying to spin it. This is unfathomable that the attorney general would do this is what you get from Democrats. And we have said, but you haven't heard what he said. You haven't heard anything of what he has said yet. And you're making these assumptions already.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that you listen to what he is saying here, and he talks about Mueller, and, you know, he has respect for Mueller, and he talks about possible leanings of people on Mueller's team. When we talk about the activists that are you know, part of journalism, but activists are part of everything today. We saw it in the Justice Department. We saw it.
We see it on the Supreme Court of the United States.
We see it everywhere. It happens in the everyday workplace. You've got two activists right now sitting in this studio. Conservative activists sitting right here. But seriously, my question would be, because I don't know, call it a generational thing, but when Ken Starr was doing what he was doing, I guess my question, if you were going to have a special prosecutor after the show roundtable, right, sit them down and say, okay, in the past, you would ask a Ken Starr, in the past, would you expect that you have people on your team that would be as vocal as apparently the members of the Mueller team have been, right? And what do you think is behind that? Because Mueller is the special prosecutor. This is not hey, we're going to all take a vote on how this is going to go. Now, certainly you put a team together because of their experience and because you want that experience to help you at some point. Not that you're going to shut them all down, but the point being is that how can you trust the the situation that we're in today as a society, being that we have activists everywhere, and that justice would actually be done here. Can you populate a Mueller team, a special prosecutor's office, or a Justice Department today and expect that there would be no activism? Or is the rule of the day, you need to get used to it? That's who people are today. That's who younger people are today, and that's how they see themselves.
Well, the only thing is, I know that, for example, because when we look at, for example, law enforcement, we know in law enforcement that police investigators every day do great investigations, knowing their own politics and the politics of the people that they are investigating, and they're able to keep them out of it. I think that no, the human beings are able to do it. They may not wish to do it, but they are totally capable of doing it. We've done it for generations upon generations. We have judges that do it all the time. Judges that's whose job, even though they have their own political bent, is to abide by the law. We have judges that do it. We have judges that aren't judicial activists that actually do it. So it's a choice that people make. But as you know, you and I have talked about the fact of when judges, for example, decide not to be judges and decide to be judicial activists. I believe they know they're doing that. And who was it? Remember the Supreme Court justice? Was it Sotomayor?
Who was talking? Forgot she was being recorded.
She forgot she was being recorded and saying, you know, basically talking about being a judicial activist and said, "Oops, we're not supposed to say that." And that was a very important moment from a Supreme Court judge, because at that point you understood that she knew the difference between being a judge and a judicial activist. And what she was stating is the point that judges actually know that they're doing that. To me, that is what is unconscionable, is when you get into a position in law enforcement, and I include prosecutors in law enforcement, and you let your politics lead you instead of doing the best that you possibly can to abide by what the law is. But we see it in the highest levels. Look, are we surprised that we saw it in law enforcement and the FBI when we see it in the Supreme Court? We shouldn't be surprised, but the fact that we're not surprised doesn't mean that we shouldn't call it out and say that it's unacceptable to do so. And when there is law breaking involved in it, point out the law breaking and investigate any possible law breaking.
Right. Right. I guess that's my question. Whether you're putting together a special prosecutor team or, again, staffing the Justice Department, is it just a given today that you're going to have activists, and that's how they're going to act, and that's how they're going to behave in those roles? And what do you do guard against
that? Well, we did see Peter Strzok thrown off the Mueller team,
mm-hmm,
when the emails of bias came out.
Right.
So I don't know whether – I can't tell. I'm not indicting Mueller or complimenting him. I don't know if he did it because it would look bad in the media, or whether he believes that Strzok should not have served on the Mueller team because of his obvious bias that he allowed to get into his judgment as an FBI agent.
Well,
I can't tell you why Mueller
question.
Did it.
Yeah, that's the question. Did he do it just because the word got out? If we hadn't learned of that, would he still be
I don't know.
Because he remained at the FBI through all that.
Right. But obviously there's a recognition that at the minimum from Mueller
that it's not acceptable.
That the perception is it is not acceptable to the public to do that.
Right.
So
how do you
still,
guard
so,
against it internally, I guess, would be my question.
Right.
Because Comey can play stupid, but you can't tell me he wasn't aware of Strzok's behavior during his time at the FBI.
I really can't wait till the FISA application comes out and what emails they actually have that
oh
they
my
wish
gosh.
To see.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Cold and snowy weather doesn't just affect your fuel, it also affects your fuel's filtration system. For diesel engines, fuel filters are the last line of defense for dust, dirt, and debris entering the combustion cylinders. Cold weather will only make matters worse. Any major drop in temperature can cause your fuel to gel and clog your filters. If you're having issues with your fuel system, try changing your filter. You should also be changing your fuel filter during every maintenance check. And it would be wise to keep an extra filter in your cab this winter. You never know when you may need it. If you need help changing your filter, stop into TA Truck Service today and let one of our expert technicians assist you.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, listening to Ken Starr talk about the fact that, you know, this thing's just going to, you know, continue to go on and on and on and on. And it, you know, look, everything does for a while until it's burned out politically. I think the more important thing is that after this, it'll be interesting to see what the talk is. Whatever's in this, you know, whatever comes out in this report and every angle that will be covered that will be devastating one moment for Trump and exonerating the next moment for Trump, what it'll be a week from now, and then what it'll be a month from now. And then when you have the Attorney General Barr and he gets the IG report, and then the tables start turning as to the investigation looking at the Democrats instead of the Republicans, will it be evened up in a month, or will the Republicans take the lead when it comes to pointing out where the true corruption in government is? Those are places that we will be going here in the next 6 months.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think the attack on Barr will be, you know, it's the proverbial kill the messenger thing, but kill the credibility of the messenger in this case, which they've been on for, you know, a couple of weeks, really, a few weeks. That will continue today, but they really don't have any credibility themselves when they do that. We'll see what Barr presents. We'll have plenty of audio for the bonus show, yeah. No doubt.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.